Baptist 21 is a pastor-led voice for Southern Baptists in the 21st century. The B21 podcast will discuss current issues in the SBC with Southern Baptist church leaders. To check out more resources, visit us at baptist21.com.
This is Nate Aiken with Baptist 21. I am the director of Baptist 21 and also the director of network relations for the Pillar Church Planting and Church Revitalization Network. In this two-part interview with Dr. Moore, in the first part, we talked about the state of the SBC and also gender roles. And here in the second part, we're going to discuss issues regarding race as well as Dr. Moore's new book. And so we hope that you'll enjoy part two of this interview with Dr. Moore. What would you say to brothers and sisters who would say they see racism in our culture as merely individual and not systemic, that they don't really see a systemic race issue? What would you say to brothers and sisters like that?
I would say they don't really believe it because that's – I guarantee you that most of those people who are saying that do not have that approach when it applies to abortion, and rightly so. And so someone may say, well, abortion is an individual issue and we need to. So I early in my ministry, there was a pastor that I heard that I was shocked to know was pro-choice on abortion, pro-abortion. And I knew this. I was just really horrified by it. And I heard him preach on abortion. This is what he said. He stood up and he said, you know, we hear all this stuff about abortion. If we would teach our young people true love waits and sexual purity, we wouldn't have to worry about these issues of abortion. Everybody in that place said amen, because nobody knew what he meant was just deal with the individual, and as long as the individual is not aborting, doesn't matter what the system and what the laws are doing. Well, in reality, it's both. You have to deal with the person, and you have to do with the larger context that they're in. That's what Isaiah meant when he said, I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. What Peter meant when he said, you need to follow the way of Christ, and that means to turn aside the futile things that you inherited from your forefathers, things that perish. That's the reality here. Now, we may come in and say, well, there are all kinds of specifics where we would say, well, what should you do? Should you do this or should you do that? Or how? To what degree is this the case or that the case? Okay, fine. Those are conversations to have. That's a very different thing than simply saying, well, as long as the person is not individually thinking up hateful things in his heart, then that means that we don't have a problem. That's not the case. Not only not the case with race, it's not the case with almost anything because of the nature of sin. We live in a place where what we're fighting against is the world, the flesh, and the devil. All three of those things at the same time. And so the people who would say, well, all we need to do is to preach the gospel and then these things take care of themselves, don't really believe that, because if they did, they would approach the issue of sexual morality that way, and they don't. Well, why are we going to talk about sexual morality when let's just preach the gospel and people get saved? You have to disciple people, and that's why in the New Testament, Jesus' very first sermon at Nazareth. What does he do? Comes in, announces the kingdom. Everybody says, great. And then he comes in and says, widow of Zarephath, Naaman the Syrian, outside of the ethnic people of God, that's where God was working, the people are enraged. The Apostle Paul would have had a much easier life if he had said, Jewish congregations, Gentile congregations, and we'll just avoid all the tension of being together. No, he says instead, you've got a sign, Ephesians 3, to the principalities and powers, with these two coming together in one new man. And that means we bear one another's burdens. And so if when I have an African-American brother in Christ who is being followed around in a store that would have no issue with me, well, that's my problem too. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that we'll know how to fix that. but it definitely means I can't say that doesn't matter.
Yeah. So to a brother that – so to a well-meaning brother or sister who might – and I'm saying this as brothers that we would say they're in our – they're on our team. They're in our family. But they might push back and say, look, I get it. There is personal racism. There's systemic racism. But is there a chance that we would swing the pendulum too far in this as far as certain apologies or any number of things? What would you say to that person who's saying – you've already said there's not easy answers as far as some of the specifics. Mm-hmm. But what would you say to that person who's saying, I get it, but maybe we're going a little too far. I mean, what would be the problem? You know, we're kind of pushing this a little too far. What would you say to that?
Well, I mean, I think people say the exact same thing constantly about personal morality issues. You know, why are we obsessed with marriage and sex? We're not obsessed with marriage and sex. There's a huge problem with marriage and sex out there, and you are called to reflect Christ, which means that we have to disciple one another and shape one another in the area of marriage and sex. And if you don't talk about it, then what do you end up with? You end up with Ephesians 2, walking after the pattern of the world in areas of marriage and sexuality. That's what's happened when it comes to pornography. Mm-hmm. That's what's happened. I mean, one of the things that we have seen is that for a long time, there was this unbiblical idea of the way that sin is resolved, which is history does it. It's 2018, things go away. That's not how sin is resolved. Sin is resolved by a watchfulness over the heart and a speaking of the Word of God into a heart. And that's especially true when you're dealing with something that the Bible treats as one of the primary issues of human self-idolatry. All the way from the very beginning to am I my brother's keeper, all the way through to the sort of ethnic superiorities that you see going on in the early church that had to be confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we're dealing with issues of it's very similar to the people who would say, well, I mean, come on, why are you going to talk about homosexuality? It's just not that. Well, because sexual immorality sends people to hell, and so does racism. And so if you say, well, then why are you talking? It's not just about what racism does to our neighbors, which is important. It's what it does to you. And we're living in a time when the sense of identity in blood and soil and in ethnic identity is emergent all around the world in really, really ugly and nasty ways. If the church does not have a counter message to that, to say, no, we are a reconciled people together, then the church has no message to say. This is actually not a complicated issue, and it shouldn't especially be a complicated issue for us because we have lived this out so many times. So in 1845, Southern Baptists are saying, "Why don't we talk about slavery? That's not a big deal. It's just too political. It's just too social. Let's not talk about it." When you stand up and you call people to repentance for drunkenness and adultery, rightly so, and you say nothing about kidnapping and raping and enslaving human beings made in the image of God, then you are speaking to it because you're saying you won't be held accountable for it at judgment. When you're living in a South throughout the 20th century, when people are being hosed down in the streets of Birmingham, when dogs are being released on little girls because of the color of their skin, when people are being dehumanized and the church says, don't distract us with that, you are making a statement. And it's exactly what God says through Isaiah, don't come to me with your worship services and your Sabbaths and your new moon festivals. I'm tired of hearing it because of the way that you're turning your back on those who are being ground into the ground. We've been through that over and over and over again in our history, to the point that we ought to be the people who learn from that enough to say, we're not doing that again.
Now would be a good time to tell you about our sponsor for the Baptist 21 podcast, The Pillar Network. If you're a pastor interested in leading your church to partner with a community of like-minded SBC churches that are doctrinally aligned, missionally driven, and committed to fulfilling the Great Commission by equipping the next generation of pastors to both plant and revitalize churches, then consider joining The Pillar Network. You can find out more information at thepillarnetwork.com. That's thepillarnetwork.com. In that, this is very helpful. In that vein, you know, coming out of Dallas and other things, we have black and brown brothers and sisters in our denomination who have friends who are saying, why in the world are you SBC?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so what would you say to those brothers and sisters about the SBC? Even getting into that question about race, I mean, you know, you have people saying, well, we've apologized, we've done this. And you want to say, based upon our history, can we apologize enough? And can we do enough to say, hey, we want you here and you're welcome here? Well, what do you say to those brothers and sisters who have those friends that are saying, why are you even sticking with that denomination?
Well, I think the issue is not apologizing. The issue is saying we recognize and we're spending time thinking, what happened here? And how does that happen? Where you can have people who know the Bible, who've memorized the Bible, and who can ignore this massive issue. How does that happen? What are the things? How do people talk themselves into that? And where have we done that? Where could we do that right now? That's what's important. And so if you turn around and say, oh, well, those days are behind us. We're not going to reference them anymore. That what you're doing is the exact opposite of what's going on. For instance, 1 Corinthians 10, where Paul's saying, remember what happened to your ancestors in the wilderness coming out of Egypt. Well, why? Because it could happen to you. And so I think that's a fundamentally important concern for black and brown Southern Baptists who really do face a lot of why are you here? What I would say from kind of outside in their lives, what I would say is there is a tremendous moment of opportunity before us right now in a way that I've never seen so far in my life. I've been around, you know, in active ministry now for almost 25 years. I remember days when I'd be at pastors' conferences where there would be openly racist ethnic slurs and jokes being told. Not that long ago. Well, things are changing there. And what I would say is that 98% of Southern Baptists, in my experience, are ready for their African American and Latino and Asian American brothers and sisters not only to be present but also to lead. So I think that's a good moment and a good opportunity. And so I think that, you know, I have very different conversations if I'm in an all-white SBC context than I do if I'm in an all-black SBC context, where, you know, I'm going to come in and say, look, don't give up on people because of what, you know, somebody over here said, who in most cases, you know, they're looking at somebody over here who really doesn't have any influence and who isn't replicating himself. There's nobody like that, you know, who's coming behind him. And so instead, keep pressing and keep persevering. So I think I think the tension is for an African-American Southern Baptist or an Asian-American Southern Baptist, for instance. I had an Asian-American student who was Canadian, Chinese-Canadian, Southern, and he comes in one day. He was all just, and I said, what's wrong? And it was Missions Day. And he had somebody who was there on the campus with, you know, some missions organization where he came up and just started speaking Korean to him. He's like, I'm not Korean, I'm Canadian. So I think there's some things where you just have to say, okay, these are some things that we have to say, bless your heart, we're going to keep pressing forward. But there are a lot of other things where what you need to do is to push back. And so what I say is in majority minority context within the SBC is what needs to happen is a tension point without leaving. So I mean, what, you know, that tiny group of people that you're talking about here that would rather see not have to deal with black and brown people in the SBC, a tiny group of people, they actually would be more than fine if everybody got mad and left, you know, and just, you know, have your little group of people doing a, you know, Civil War reenacting society and die. And that's, they wouldn't mind that. What you have to have, though, are people who are going to say, I'm not going to shrink back and not speak. I'm also not going anywhere. I'm going to be here. You're going to have to deal with me. And I'm going to tell you what I think. And that's how things change.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the ways you've kind of sharpened us and continue to help us think and on those topics. I want to pivot and just last question and get you out of here. Tell us about your new book, Storm Tossed Family, and then any events coming up this year in the ERLC that you want the listeners to know about.
Well, the book is dealing with the reality of spiritual warfare as it relates to family. I had a friend who said to me one time, you know what? I knew that parenting would be humbling. I didn't know that parenting would be humiliating. And I thought about that. I said, you know, I've experienced that too. But what I would say is every aspect of being together in family, singleness can be humiliating. Marriage can be humiliating. Dealing with aging parents can be humiliating. Growing up as a child in a family can be humiliating. And that's because being together in family, whether the family of the church or whether in nuclear families or extended families, is pointing to something beyond us, which means it's a focal point of spiritual warfare. So there are a lot of people, I think, right now who the problem for them when it comes to family is either denigrating, not seeing family as significantly important. But I think a lot of people also see family as ultimate in a way that causes them to. So, I mean, you think about, for instance, delayed marriage, cohabitation, all those sorts of issues. When you talk to people where they say, it's not that they have such a low view, usually, of marriage that they say, what, you know, what does it matter? It's instead that they have this view of marriage where marriage has to be my perfect soulmate, perfectly completing me, and everything in my life is going to be perfect from that point on. And they idealize it and want to wait. The guy who is walking out on his family or the woman who's starting an affair with a coworker, often it is because that person has an idealized view of the family in the abstract and says, well, I'm not getting what it is that I want, so I'm going to go somewhere else, which leads to a very low view of the of family in real life. So just like Jesus says, you gain your life by losing it, you honor and value the family when the family is important but not ultimate. And so that's what the book is about, is how to kind of walk through all of these various, whether it's being parented or parenting, whether it's being single or being in a marriage conflict, or whether it's dealing with parents who are aging and going through problems, or dealing with that mom or dad or brother or sister who's not a Christian who thinks you're crazy. You know, all of those sorts of things that we deal with. That's what the book's about.
Well, Dr. Moore, thank you so much for taking time to be
thank
on the
you.
Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Very, very thankful for your ministry. And thanks for listening to the Baptist 21 podcast. You can find Dr. Moore on Twitter, twitter.com/Dr. Moore. And then you can find us on Baptist21.com or on Twitter at twitter.com/Baptist21. If you enjoyed hearing from Dr. Moore, please let him know on Twitter and encourage him in his ministry. I'm Nate Aiken. Thanks for listening to the Baptist 21 podcast.